Welcome to Eastern Sierra Now. I'm your host, Jesse Steele, and it is Tuesday, February 1st. You guys ever noticed, like, January goes slow, but then the whole year goes fast? Maybe that's different for other people. Write me a comment and tell me what you think about that. But for me, January, like, takes forever. And then once you get into February, boom, it's December. It's been like that for years. Except for when I was a kid, you know, because right now is you just got back to school and that sucks after your winter break. And then the rest of the year is so slow, you can't take it. But the older you get, the faster things seem to go. And then all of a sudden it's 10 years later and you're like, what? Anyway, yeah, perception. What do you do? All right, let's see what we have in the news here today. A couple of obituaries, unfortunately. The Great Basin Unified Air Pollution Control District meetings have been canceled. Well, one. Here, I'll just read this to you. The Great Basin Unified Air Pollution Control District is giving a notice that the regular meeting of the Great Basin Unified Air Pollution Control District Governing Board scheduled for March 3rd has been canceled. A special meeting of the Governing Board will be held March 17th at 10 a.m. The meeting will be held via teleconference as well as in person. The Zoom link and all of that is at Eastern Sierra Now. And yeah, I think that's pretty much all about that one. So they're just moving it a week down the road. So if you're interested in that, head over to Eastern Sierra Now and get the information. The Forest Service is accepting applications for wildland firefighters throughout 18 national forests in California. Make a lasting impact on the world around you and unlock opportunities for professional growth and career advancement. Join the Forest Service, an agency of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and be a part of an organization that is committed to caring for the land and serving people. We are hiring positions in wildland firefighting across California, including both permanent and permanent seasonal opportunities. What's the difference between permanent and permanent seasonal? I guess you always have a job during fire season. That must be what that means. You can learn more about these positions at Eastern Sierra Now. There's a link for that. What they're looking for, a highly skilled, hardworking cast of thousands is needed to battle wildland fires. The USDA Forest Service Pacific Southwest Region Fire and Aviation Management Program requires talented people working safely together to be successful. Wildland firefighters work in a variety of specialized positions, including engines, fuel management, heli-attack, hotshot crews, prevention, and smoke jumping. These positions often travel throughout California and other regions of the country. Applications are only accepted through USA Jobs through February 11th, and review the job announcement carefully for deadlines and required information to include in your application. Employment start dates vary. Visit the Forest Service Jobs webpage, that's fs.usda.gov/fsjobs.com, to learn more about career opportunities, benefits, hiring events, and resources to help with the application process. The Forest Service manages 18 national forests in the Pacific Southwest region, which encompasses over 200 million acres across California, and assists state and private forest landowners in California, Hawaii, and the U.S.-affiliated Pacific Islands. National forests supply 50% of the water in California and form the watershed of most major aqueducts and more than 2,400 reservoirs throughout the state. For more information, visit fs.usda.gov/r5. So all of that information is at Eastern Sierra Now, and the links to those different applications or information about the job. So if you are interested in that, that sounds like a great career opportunity for the right people. So head over to Eastern Sierra Now, check that out. I did want to point out for my friends and sponsor, Astorga's Mexican Restaurant, that they posted a comment today for the public, and it's a bummer, but you know, they are amazing, hardworking people, and I promise you they have your best interest put over their own. So they are doing exactly what they have to survive. And that's true, because I've talked to multiple restaurants during this that are our sponsors, and every one of them is having to increase their prices right now because everything is going up. I believe Copper Top said something like, just a rack of ribs is like 400% more than it was this time 6 months ago. So it's it's going around. And that's the problem with economies and things the way they are, I suppose. I mean, I don't really know what I'm talking about. I'm kind of just rambling. But it seems like when we're having these arguments like anti-vaccine or anti-mask or, you know, this person won the Oscar and this person won the Oscar and, oh, what's crazy Kim Jong-un doing over there in North Korea? We start paying attention to that and they slide these things in on us. So gas prices go up like crazy. Food prices go up like crazy. All of us go and buy a gallon of milk for $6 and go, what in the heck? Why is this $6? It was $3 yesterday. Well, inflation and this happened and there's this and that and this. But it never goes back. It stays there. We all just get pissed and walk away. And then all of a sudden it's $6 and that's what it is. And then a couple of years from now, they'll do it again and it'll be $8. And it keeps going and going. And I think that's what's going on with food. Like everything is going up right now. And it's not going to go back. It's not like one of these days we're going to go back to getting a dollar soda in a bottle with a screw-on cap. It's not going to happen. It's damn near $3 for one of those now. When I was a kid, it was like 75 cents. It went up to a dollar and it pissed everybody off. So here we are. You know what I mean? That's kind of what it is. So anyway, let me read this for Astorgas. And, you know, understand, they're the best. So, you know, they're doing exactly what they can. And they'll do what they can to help. And if prices do go down, they will go back because they're not trying to just run one over on you. They're doing what they have to survive, but they want to make sure the customers, which is absolutely their first priority, get what you're paying for. So attention to our valued customers. Over the years, Astorgas has done its absolute best to keep using the best quality of food and also give out the best service that we can do for our customers, along with many upgrades and improvements that we have done over the years to make it more enjoyable for our customers and community. We have always kept our prices the same. We have always said that we'll only hit our prices when it's necessary, and we'll never do it just to do it. Unfortunately, during these times, all businesses have been hit hard tremendously, and the cost of doing business has hit all businesses hard, and Astorgas is no different. Astorgas felt the need to let our loyal and wonderful customers know that beginning February 8th, you will see an increase to our menu's prices, but we will still offer the same great quality of food and service, along with more improvement, and also continue to give back to our community. We will keep improving for our customers and community. We want to thank everyone for continued support, and we appreciate you all very much. Thank you, the Astorga family. I applaud them for being transparent about it and saying this is what's going on, you know, and we're here for you. So, you know, good job. You know, Astorgas is the best. They're wonderful. Regardless of what the prices are, it sounds like everywhere is going to be expensive. So going out is, that's just what it's going to be. But, you know, it's the atmosphere you're paying for. It's the friendly service. It's the amazing food. You know, you can get, I say this every time, and it's cool. You can get a cocktail to go. You call them, hey, I'm coming to pick up my Bloody Mary. And there you go. You're good. So, you know, they are great people, and I am stoked to have them on board with us. So, you know, my hat goes off to them, and everybody keep heading out there and eating there. Don't let this change it for any restaurant, because that's what the economy needs, is us to put money into it. And this is what's going on. But it's, like I said before, this is how it's gone, man. I remember, like I'll use Copper Top, since they're not only our sponsor, but friend. I used to not be able to eat there very much in the last bunch of years because it's more expensive. But that's because you're getting barbecued food. Like ordering a plate of ribs is going to cost you $20. That's just what it is. That's the nature of that meal. So I didn't eat there a lot until he got in like a local discount and stuff. And I think he was trying to figure out how to keep the locals happy, which was brilliant on Matt's part. But by doing that, and then the rest of the world caught up. So I was talking to Matt the other day, and I won't bring up this other place because I'm not going to talk trash on somebody else's business, but a place that my dad and I have eaten 500 times in our life, if not 1,000, since I was born until now. We went and both got a cheeseburger with french fries and a Coke, and I paid $50 for us to get out the door. And it's like, are you joking with me? A cheeseburger, not even a bacon cheeseburger, a cheeseburger, fries, and a Coke. Two of those, $50. So we paid $25 a piece for a cheeseburger. So, and we're not talking some gourmet, I mean, it's great food. I'm not going to knock that plate. I'm not mentioning it, so it doesn't even matter. But fact is, we're not talking like some gourmet burger house here. This ain't the Red Robin, if you know what I'm saying. So, point is, that sucked. So I went and told Matt, and I said, hey, the fact is, bro, my dad and I can eat here for $30 and we get great tri-tip sandwiches and pulled pork and things like that. So we both just had a laugh at that, that you go over here to this really high-end food place, you know, and it costs $20 less than ground beef. So that's kind of what I feel Astorgas is probably going through here, and that sucks, man. Everything is going up, and it's not just in food. You know, I've friends that don't, like, say High Point Solar, for instance, another one of our advertisers, getting just inverters for solar panels is going up like crazy because of that. And then you take the next step to it. Insurance for employees is going up like crazy. Personal health insurance is going up like crazy. Everything is just making a turn right now that we can't afford. None of us have been working for 2 years. You know, this is... It's not good. You know, I don't know the exact cause of it. I've been watching a lot of stuff today online, trying to figure out from different perspectives what's going on. But I know that we all got to stay in it together and we got to keep trying to fight strong. That's for sure. So anyway, let's move on to some more news, shall we? Oh, man, I hate obituaries. All right, let me just get these over. So I didn't know either of these ladies, but they seemed like they were pretty great. I've definitely heard of them both before, so... Shirley Ellen Jones, longtime resident of Bishop, passed January 20th. She died peacefully in her sleep on January 20th with her daughter, Julie, by her side. She was 86 years old. She was born in Inglewood, California in 1935 to Charles and Elsie Mackey in the summer of 1952. She moved to Bishop with her mother and stepfather, Harold Kaufman, a mechanic at Inyo Lumber, where she attended Bishop Union High School. She graduated in 1953. During this time, she met Clifford Allen Jones, and they were married in December of 1953 at the First Presbyterian Church on Main Street. Shirley and Cliff went on to have five children, Leslie, Julie, Allen, Amy, and Jonathan. They were married for 63 years. Shirley had many interests and particularly excelled at gardening and quilting. She won awards for her baking at the Tri-County Fair. She traveled often to visit family, including her sister, Margaret Mangano, and family in Visalia, California. She served on the City of Bishop Park Commission in the 1970s when the park went through a significant expansion. Shirley was predeceased by her parents, sister, husband Cliff, and children, Leslie Allen and Amy. She is survived by her daughter, Julie Jones of Bishop, son, Jonathan Jones, and wife, Kim, also of Bishop, 9 grandchildren and 7 great-grandchildren. Funeral services will be private. In lieu of flowers, please send donations to St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital or the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. Those are great causes. Those are the ones I always choose, too. I think I would have really liked Ms. Jones here. Seems like a pretty... great lady. Okay. Also now, unfortunately, another one, we have Linda Gail Ellis, who passed on January 25th. Linda Gail Ellis Swan was born September 11th, 1948, to Vern and Flora Swan at Miss Frazee's Maternity Hospital in Bakersfield, California. She was welcomed by her brothers Gary and Daryl Albee. As a child, Linda romped around the rural area with siblings, friends, and her large extended family that included numerous cousins. It was a time when life was simple and carefree. At the age of 6, Linda and a close friend went to work with her friend's father at a new park being constructed in Anaheim. The father worked for a man named Walt. At the time, the area was still mostly orange groves as far as the eye could see. After playing in the fields, the girls were asked to give their childish opinions of a ride that was being worked on for the park. The ride would later be called the Jungle Cruise when the Disneyland park opened the following year in 1955. How cool. At 18, while Linda was attending a golf class in college, she was literally struck by love when she was struck by a wayward golf ball that was hit by a handsome young man she would later marry, James E. Ellis. Jim always claimed to be, he was aiming for the blonde sitting next to her. That's a good one. But admits it was the greatest golf shot he ever made. In 1967, Jim and Linda married and moved to Lone Pine, California, where they began raising their 3 children, James, Rick, and Debbie. Linda was a loving and devoted mother and wife, and her children were the fuel that drove her. While a young mother of 3 in 1972, Linda experienced the loss of her own mother to lung cancer. Before her passing, Linda's in-laws promised Flora that they would love, care for, and protect her daughter as if she were their own, a promise Jim and Juanita Ellis each kept until their own passing in 2016 and 2020. Linda was an avid craftsman. She was creative, driven, and loved making things with her hands. This quickly turned into a love of sharing her creations as gifts. Anything from a hand-sewn wall hanging to stained glass terrariums and ornaments, crocheted slippers and blankets to wooden nightstands and hope chests were churned out of Linda's shop and given as gifts year after year. There was no limit to what she could create, and she thrived on the challenge to do something bigger and better each time. Jim Ellis Sr. often publicly praised Linda as the most capable person he knew, and she could often be found by his side in his woodworking shop learning the trade. Although she dabbled in a variety of mediums, her true passion was fabric. Through the years, she sewed numerous items from casual dresses to prom dresses, wedding dresses, bridesmaid dresses, and flower girl dresses. Her favorite dress was a simple A-frame, T-length, white chiffon dress that she made for herself for her wedding day. Her love of sewing clothes transitioned easily into quilts, for which she was well known for in the surrounding area. Her beautifully crafted pieces could be admired every year at the annual fair, along with a homemade pie. Lemon meringue was what she was known for. Through the years, Jim and Linda made their way up the beautiful Owens Valley to Bishop, making many lifelong friends along the way. Bishop is where she truly called home, where they lived most of their years together, raising their family that grew to include 12 grandchildren and one great-grandchild, with another one on the way. After retiring with her husband from the Department of Water and Power in 2012, where Linda worked as a secretary, they packed their bags and hit the road. Linda could always be found sewing in the recreational room at the RV park in Pismo, California, where they spent several weeks a year enjoying the beach, the golf courses, and meeting new people while traveling in her motorhome. There wasn't a fabric store within 1,000 miles she hadn't been to, and there wasn't a town she visited where she didn't befriend someone. She touched so many people along her life's journey, even at the very end, where in the last weeks of her life, she befriended another beautiful soul in the hospital. Linda and Helen could be found sitting side by side, holding hands, watching old black and white movies, and testing each other's knowledge by naming the actors from their past. She never lost her spirit to touch others' lives. Linda passed away from her battle with brain cancer and breast cancer on January 25th, peacefully in her home in Sparks, Nevada, literally surrounded by family in a room full of blow-up heads and sleeping bags. Linda was devoted to life. Her candle burned brightly, and she spent her 73 years doing the things she loved, being with those she loved, and caring for all in her life. Linda survived by her husband Jim, her three children, Jim Ellis of Bishop, Rick Ellis of Ely, Nevada, and Debbie Weather of Reno, Nevada, her brother Daryl Albee, and numerous cousins, and her beloved grandchildren and great-grandchild. She will be truly missed by her family and all those whose lives she touched with her generous and giving spirit. Services will be held February 26th at 11 a.m. at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Catholic Church, 849 Home Street in Bishop, California. Graveside services at East Line Cemetery to follow. Well, that was one of the better well-written obituaries I've read in a long time. That was funny. I bet they had a magnificent life. So the last thing I want to touch on here today is the Mammoth Film Festival. So this is huge. I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to let you know kind of what's going on. And you can head over to Eastern Sierra now to check it out. But it starts here in a couple days, and it is pretty fun. Last year, they hired me to play John Travolta from Pulp Fiction and to just walk around in character and talk to people and put on a little skit and stuff. And it was pretty great. My buddy Maurice and I, we played Samuel L. Jackson and John Travolta, and it was pretty fun. So a few other actors jumped in and played some other parts from Tarantino movies, and we had a very good time. Anyway, this should be pretty fun this year. So Mammoth Film Festival announces its 2022 lineup, highlights its first round of selections, inclusion of the international premiere of Luke Hemsworth's dramatic feature, Bosch and Rocket, opening night world premiere of the feature, The Immaculate Room, starring Emile Hirsch, Kate Bosworth, and Ashley Green, the world premiere feature, Who Are You People, starring Emma Horvath, Yeardley Smith, and those of you who don't know who that is Lisa Simpson. Alyssa Milano, and those of you that don't know who that is, she is my first, third, and sixth wife. And Devon Sawa, actor Nina DeBreeve's directorial debut, The One. Jenna Ushkowitz, directorial debut. And I believe she was one of the kids on Glee, as I recall. Directorial debut, The Dinner Party. The Luke Binward directed short Boys, produced by Ariel Winter and Sterling Bowman. Serpentine, directed by Eva Dolezalova, sorry about that, starring Barbara Palvin in her acting debut. Episodics, Hudson Falls, starring Richard Kind. Cheeky on Conquo, sorry about that, and Jessica Hecht, Jason Neubauer's do-gooder episodic effect change, and one Michelin star, Brandon C. Thomas, with many other films to be announced over the upcoming weeks. So that's a lot of world premieres for Mammoth Lakes, you know what I mean? These are things that go to Sundance, these go to Cannes, these go to huge New York film festivals, Austin, places that are known for film. So for this to happen in Mammoth, that's a very big deal. You got to give Tanner Beard and the rest of his crew some serious credit. This is some pretty big stuff. So what else do we got here I can tell you a little bit about? Mammoth Film Festival 2022, confirmed to take place in person February 3rd through the 6th in Mammoth Lakes, California, is thrilled to announce their first round of 2022 festival slate highlights stacked with young Hollywood notables. The four-day festival will feature over 90 films selected from submissions via Film Freeway, inclusive of U.S. and international world premieres across the featured documentary, shorts, and episodic categories. Plus, for the first time, will officially debut a music video category judged by award-winning director Andrew Sandler. The festival strives to showcase world premieres from so many incredible filmmakers layered with renowned established actors as well as talented up-and-comers across diverse backgrounds. Festival's co-founders Tanner Beard and Tomek Mansouri are extremely passionate and dedicated to the festival filmmakers and attending film enthusiasts, as well as supporting the town of Mammoth Lakes, therefore committed to ensuring a responsible film festival experience as offered under present town mandate. Mammoth Film Festival has been quickly growing in status and attention since 2008, making it a sought-after film festival that will only continue to gain traction and is supported by talented filmmakers from around the world, especially North America. With past festivals featuring films screened, sold, and showcased by icons and established industry players such as Quentin Tarantino, Dante Spinotti, Michael Madsen, Tara Wood, Leslie Ann Brandt, Josh Duhamel, Peter Facinelli, Anne Heche, Zac Efron, Ashley Green, Lucas Haas, Tony Hawk, and many more. There is no doubt that the 2022 slate and subsequent years to follow will be equally impressive. So there is a lot more about this. I'm not going to go on about every single film here, but we will be up there getting some shots, talking to some people, checking some stuff out. Hope to see you up there. Film festivals are just a blast. It's basically a giant party where you have a bunch of cool movies with the people that are in them. So I recommend doing it since it's so close to home. And this is becoming a world-class festival. I mean, I'm kind of thinking in the next 5 to 10 years, this is going to be one of the ones that are on the map for the big stuff. So anyway, let's go check that out. Oh man, we're at 23 minutes. Okay, we're out of here. Thanks for listening. This is Eastern Sierra Now, and I will check with you tomorrow. Bye-bye.